Time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitten Madness.
And here he goes. Defense wins championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dejon Hughes.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. Welcome back into Mitten Madness. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to talk an hours long about what's happening in the state of Michigan in the sports realm. We'll touch in on the Michigan State basketball teams, men's and women's, and how they have fared or are faring in the NCAA tournament. And then we'll turn our attention over to the Pistons, Red Wings, and Tigers over in the professional realm in Detroit. Before anything's out with our picks, like we always do, it is an exciting weekend for me. It has been an exciting week. Hopefully the same for you. Got to spend some time in Chicago this weekend. Going to be able to watch some lacrosse and really enjoy that time out there while also taking in the city. Then big time Michigan basketball tonight that I'm really looking forward to. And then we get to watch more championship basketball Sunday and Monday when it comes to the NCAA tournaments. And then we're getting ready to get into the NBA playoffs. Postseason basketball is some of the best time of the year, and it is right in front of us. I couldn't be more excited. UFL has kicked off, so we'll get into that for our picks as well. And baseball season is off and rolling, so we, of course, will have to touch about our Tigers and Red Wings as well. Red Wings really trying to make a playoff push here, but we'll see what's happening there. We have gotten our obligatory check-in out of the way. Let's start with Michigan State. The last time we talked, they were preparing to play a game against UConn. I picked them to win that game over UConn, and unfortunately, they did not. They did the one thing that I told them they couldn't do. They allowed Terrace Reed Jr. to be himself and have a dominant game. Terrace Reed had 20 points, 8 of 16, 4 for 6 from the free throw line. He got help from Alex Caravan, who gave him 7 rebounds, and then Malachi Smith, 7 assists, 1 turnover, and 17 minutes of play. UConn shoots 46, 43, 63 in their splits, 10 turnovers, 30 rebounds, led for 93% of the game. Their largest lead was 19. Meanwhile, Michigan State, on the other hand, Carson Cooper, 14 points, 5 of 8 from the field, 4 for 5 from the free throw line in his final game. Jackson Kohler, 8 rebounds in his final game. And then Jeremy Fear, 7 assists, 4 turnovers, 36 minutes of play for the guard who should be returning. The Spartans shoot 40, 25, 72 in their splits, 10 turnovers as well, grabbed 39 rebounds, but only led for 6% of the game, their largest lead being 2. This game was at Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. So the Huskies escaped this Sweet 16 matchup with the Spartans, which effectively ended the Spartans' season right there, which if we get a chance to go and look at what the Spartans were able to do this season, as I am pulling that up, they went 15-5 in conference play, 27-8 overall. They ended up losing the Big Ten by 4. Their losses on the year, which they don't have a lot of them. I mean, just 8. Their first loss was to Duke by 6 back when they were the number 4 team in the country. And that was a phenomenal game. They lost to Nebraska on the road by 2 in a great, great, great Big Ten game this season. They lost to Michigan at home by 12 when Michigan was the number 3 team in the country and arguably one of the best teams in the country. Still are arguably one of the best teams in the country. Then they lost at Minnesota by 3 in a tough Big Ten road game. They lost at Wisconsin by 21, which was a very weird loss for them. I mean, absolute domination by the Badgers. Everybody really thrown off by that. Then they went on a run, beat UCLA, Ohio State, at Purdue, at Indiana, then beat Rutgers before losing their next two. They lost at Michigan by 10 to close out the regular season, and then lost their opening game in the Big Ten tournament by 4 to a surging UCLA team that wanted revenge on them. Over the season, Jeremy Fears, their leading point getter, 15.2 points, 9.4 assists, just 2.4 turnovers, shooting 43.1% from the field in 32.4 minutes of play. Defensively, or he also had 1.3 steals to add to that, those statistics. Jackson Kohler, 8.9 rebounds. Carson Cooper, one block, 6.6 steals, and 7.1 rebounds. 78.8 points per game for the Spartans, good for 122nd in the country. 39.7 rebounds, good for 40th. 18.6 assists, good for 15th. And they only gave up 68.3 points per game. But unfortunately, their season ends early once again before they would like it to, as everyone likes to know. They want to at least get to a Final Four and would love to hoist a national trophy year after year. But unfortunately, they fall in the Sweet 16 yet again to, well, a UConn team that is absolutely surging. We'll touch on them in a moment when we get back to addressing the entire NCAA tournament as a whole. But first, I want to touch on Michigan. We are getting ready to, they were preparing to play Alabama the last time that we spoke. And, well, a lot happened in that game and a lot of good things for Michigan. Although I'm going to start with Alabama because LeBaron Filon Jr., if he never plays another college game, was one of the greatest college point guards we've ever seen. The dude can fill the bucket like no other. He goes 35 points, 10 of 21 from the field, 9 of 9 from the free throw line, also grabbed 7 rebounds, also led them with 4 assists, only 1 turnover in 39 minutes of play. An absolute dog. As Bama shoots 36-30, 93 from the splits, 7 turnovers, 32 rebounds, 40% from the or led for 40% for the game, and their largest lead was 9. Meanwhile, Michigan, once again, you think you have a three-headed monster over there, Crimson Tide? Talk to me about the boy. Michigan has the same thing going on. Yaxel Landenborg, 23 points, 8 of 12 from the field, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, just 2 turnovers in 34 minutes of play. Michigan shoots 50, 48, 55 in their splits. Only 8 turnovers, grabbed 46 rebounds, led for 55% of the game, their largest lead being 16. They win this game by 13, 90 to 77 after finally turning it on in the second half. I mean, Alabama had him in the first half, and it was close. It was close at halftime. Alabama was actually leading by 2 before Alabama really took off with it early in the second half. And that, or until Michigan took off with it early in the second half. So Alabama posed a problem for a second, but then it quickly became all Michigan. And then, of course, they moved on to the Elite Eight, where they would be taking on Tennessee. And, well, let me tell you, Michigan is still dancing because they had no problems dancing against Tennessee. Tennessee had a great game. Jacoby Gillespie goes for 21 points, 4 assists, 0 turnovers, 38 minutes of play, shooting 8 of 22 from the field, only had 1 free throw, and he cashed it. And then Felix Okpara had 7 rebounds. Tennessee shoots 32-19, 53 from the field, 9 turnovers, 42 rebounds, 13% is what they led in this game, and their largest lead was 3. Meanwhile, Michigan, on the other hand, had some helpers. Yaxel doing what Yaxel does. Another 27-point performance, 7 rebounds, 10 of 19 from the field, 4 of 7 from the free throw line. Elliot Cadeau, double-digit assist again, 10 assists, 3 turnovers, and 34 minutes of play. Michigan shoots 52-37, 73 from the field, 11 turnovers, 42 rebounds, led for 84% of the game, their largest lead being 34. They win this game by 33 as the bench went crazy toward the end of the game when Dusty May's son, Charlie May, splashed a 3 from the corner, and you could tell that was just that kind of game pretty much from the very beginning. Tennessee could not really hang with Michigan whatsoever. And they made that very apparent. So Michigan moves on to the Final Four. The Final Four on the men's side is absolutely insane. First, I'll tell you what happened in the Elite Eight as Iowa beat Nebraska, Illinois beat Houston, setting up for all Big Ten matchup in that Elite Eight game there. And Illinois took down Iowa by 12 with really no problems, moving them on, setting them up to play the winner of, Duke and UConn. Who wants to play the winner of that game? Well, I guess anybody, considering the type of game that it was. If you got a chance to watch this game, you know exactly what happened. UConn beat Duke with zero problems. Psych! UConn splashed a buzzer or a half-court buzzer beater. It was insane. From the logo, went through the net with 0.3 remaining, and then they were able to steal away the win after practically giving it away. Caden Boozer turns it over just at half court, and then they're able to step over the line and cash one from the logo, sending them to the Final Four in a matchup against Illinois. Meanwhile, Arizona made quick work of Purdue and showed everybody, them and the entire country, that they can play with the best of the best and match up with the most elite bigs in the country, setting them up with, another set of elite bigs in a matchup against Michigan. Michigan plays Arizona. UConn plays Illinois. That's the Final Four matchups, which we'll talk about those semifinal games later on in our picks. So, as Michigan keeps dancing, we're going to bounce over and talk about the NCAA tournament for the women. Michigan State unfortunately lost to Oklahoma, as we talked about, so that ended their season. And Michigan, they made it through that Sweet 16 game against Louisville, and they did it in impressive fashion, winning by 19, 71-52. Taking a look at this game here for a quick second, Olivia Olsen leads the squad in points with 19. Brooke Corals Daniels had 9 rebounds. Mila Holloway, 7 assists. Michigan shoots 47, 31, 73 from the field. 17 turnovers, 42 rebounds. Led for 51% of the game. Their largest lead being 23. And, everything felt like they had a chance to push, be in the Final Four as well, joining the men's team. And then things came crashing down for them on Monday night against Texas. Texas made very quick work of the Wolverines. They win this game by a whopping score of 36, 77-41. Held Olivia Olsen to just 11 points on 2 of 13 shooting, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. Brooks Corals Daniels only grabbed 6 rebounds. Mila Holloway, 2 assists, 4 turnovers in 27 minutes. Wolverines shoot 23-13, 93 in their splits, 15 turnovers, 32 rebounds, and did not lead at all in this game, their worst deficit being 40. So Texas looking like they are poised to make a serious national title run, but that does end Michigan's season as they were 28-7 on the year. Their losses come to Texas at the end of the year at Washington by 12 on the road versus UConn at home by 6 or by 3, excuse me. That was very early in the year, 72-69. They have a loss versus Vanderbilt at home by 3, the same score, 72-69. They lost to number 2 UCLA. At the time, they were number 2, 69-66 by 3. They lost to Iowa by 18, and then they lost to Iowa again in the tournament by 17. So some serious problems there, but they were led by Olivia Olsen, 18.9 points, shooting 46.8% from the field, 31.1 minutes of play. Mila Holloway, 4.8 assists, 2.8 turnovers, 12.3 points per game. Olsen also had the most rebounds, 6.1. Brooks Corals Daniels, 2.5 steals, 1.5 turnovers, 25.5 minutes of play. Ashley Sofakinich had 1.1 blocks, 0.7 steals, 4.2 rebounds. We'll check back in with more NCAA tournament action next week, letting you know what happened over the Final Fours for both respective sides. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking about our Detroit Pistons here on Mid Madness on 95.3.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives with your gifts. Your heart could keep beating. Your kidneys could keep filtering. And your intestines could keep on digesting for others. And that's not all. You can improve the lives of 50 more people as an eye and tissue donor, restoring sight and health. And you're not just helping out the person receiving the transplant. You're touching whole families with your life-saving gift. Register in minutes. just go to organdonor.gov. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Sign up today. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
For Mark, winning the fight against vision loss means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is committed to funding research to end blinding retinal diseases. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Learn more at fightingblindness.org.
Welcome back to Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to talk about our Detroit Pistons over in Little Caesars Arena. We'll start where we always start with the standings, and they do have a Y next to their name, which means they have not only clinched a playoff berth, but they have clinched a division win. The Pistons are 56-21, sitting atop of the entire Eastern Conference. And they have officially won the Central Division. The Celtics are number two. They've clinched a playoff spot at 51-25, 4.5 games back. Also clinching a playoff spot, the New York Knicks, 49-28, 7 games behind our Pistons. The Cavaliers have also clinched a playoff spot at the 4 seed, 48-29, 8 games behind our Pistons. Atlanta Hawks, 44-33, 12 games back. 76ers, 13.5 games back at 42-34, tied with the Raptors, who are 42-34, but the 76ers hold the tiebreaker, which puts them in the top six and currently playoff teams. Raptors come in at 7. The Hornets, 41-36, 15 games back. 40-36, 15.5 games back are the Magic, and 40-37, the Heat are 16 games back. Those are your 7 through 10 and are your play-in teams on the East. Meanwhile, the West is a lot more catastrophic and figured out over on the East. Oklahoma City Thunder have clinched their division at 61-16. The Spurs have clinched their division at 59-18, 2 games behind the Thunder. The Lakers have clinched their division as the 3 seed at 50-27, 11 games behind the Thunder. The Nuggets have clinched a playoff spot as the 4 seed at 49-28, 12 games behind the Thunder. And then the Rockets have also clinched a playoff spot at 47-29, 13.5 games behind the Thunder. 46-30, 14.5 games behind the Thunder are the Timberwolves at the 6th seed. Those are your top six in the playoffs as of right now for the Western Conference. And not a lot is going to change here, because only the Suns or the Timberwolves could flop spots between the 6 and 7. The Timberwolves are 42, or the Suns are 42-35, and they are 19 games back in the 7th seed. But in the play-in bracket, already locking in their spots there, are the Portland Trailblazers at 40-38, 21.5 games back. The Clippers, 39-38, 22 games back. And the Golden State Warriors, 36-41, 25.5 games back. The Bucks, Bulls, Pacers, Nets, Wizards, Grizzlies, Pelicans, Mavericks, Jazz, and Kings are all eliminated from playoff contention. So we'll have a pretty much an update next week on where these teams fall and what the playoff bracket will look like. In the entire league, our Pistons are sitting third, 5 games behind the Thunder, 3 games behind the Spurs, who are in second. And then Pistons are firmly in that third spot. Looking at the season leaders for the Pistons, Cade Cunningham still absolutely dominant. 24.5 points per game, 9.9 assists, just 3.7 turnovers, shooting 46.1% from the field in 34.4 minutes of play. Jalen Duren, 19.5 points per game, shooting 64.5% from the field, 10.7 rebounds, and 28.3 minutes of play. Asar Thompson, 2 steals, 1.5 turnovers, 26 minutes of play. Isaiah Stewart, 1.6 blocks, 0.3 steals, 5.1 rebounds. The team averages 117.5 points per game, grabs 45.6 points per game, and assists on 27.5 buckets per game, looking at how things have fared for them over the last couple of days since we last talked. They did win that game against Minnesota last week on Saturday, 109-87. Looked absolutely phenomenal in that game on the road. Then they went on the road and played the Thunder, and they gave the Thunder absolutely everything they could handle. And you could argue that with Cade Cunningham, the Pistons win this game with no problems as they lose 114-110 in overtime. Paul Reed, B-ball Paul, doing his absolute thing, 21-10 to lead the squad. Durant pops back on Tuesday, picking up another win, 127-116 against the Raptors. He had 31-9. And then once again here against Minnesota, Dennis Jenkins pops out with 26. Jalen Durant grabs 14 rebounds. Assar Thompson, 9 assists as the Pistons beat the Timberwolves again, 113-108. So another dominant performance from the Pistons. They have pretty much the next week as they do play tonight against the 76ers on the road. Then they're down on the road against Orlando on Monday. They're at home for their last home game of the year on Wednesday, April 8th, against the Milwaukee Bucks for the regular season. And then they spend their last two games on the road at Charlotte, at Indiana. And if I'm looking at this list, the only two teams on this list that are probably really going to give them a problem are maybe Charlotte, who's still trying to make a push to find themselves in a comfortable spot in the play-in bracket that fits their matchups and where they would like to be. And then Orlando and Philadelphia, who are fighting for a chance to be firmly in the playoffs slash in the play-in bracket. So a lot of big moves there. But outside of that, really, I don't see the Pistons maybe even losing. Maybe they finish out the year on a 7-game win streak headed into the playoffs before they get Cade Cunningham back. That would be absolutely phenomenal. He will be out at least another week as they want him to fully recover from the collapsed lung that he experienced just a little while ago. So he is still very much in the recovery process. They expect him to only be out about one more week, but it could extend longer than that. A collapsed lung is a serious issue to deal with. So it's not easy to say that he should just be back with zero concern or so quickly. So that's something to keep an eye on. But taking a closer look at this game against the 76ers this weekend, giving the Pistons a 69.5% chance to win, 30.5 for the 76ers. 76ers have been relatively quiet this year, especially against the Pistons. Pistons won the first game back on November 9th, 111-108. Then they won the second game on November 14th, 114-105. They won the third game, 131-109, on March 12th. So regardless of what happens in this game, the Pistons will win the season series. It's just a matter of will it be 3-1 or will it be a 4-0 sweep in the season series. This game will be at Xfinity Mobile Arena in Philadelphia. Philly facing some issues. Jani Broome is out with a knee injury until possibly April 9th. And then you also have game time decision Joel Embiid with an illness. Pistons, Tobias Harris, game time decision, along with Isaiah Stewart, knee and calf injuries respectively, and Cade Cunningham out with his lung issue. Pistons are 4-1 in their last five. Their lone loss, a 4-point loss in overtime to the Thunder. And then you got the 76ers, on the other hand, who are 3-2 in their last five. They have wins over Charlotte, Chicago, and Washington, putting up some big numbers, scoring 153 and 157 against Washington and Chicago respectively, but giving up 131 and 137 respectively in those games, but also losing to Miami and the Thunder in that same stretch. They're 42-34 on the year, 21-17 at home. Pistons, 25-12 on the road, 56-21 on the year. Like I said, I don't expect them to lose a lot of games in this last five, if they lose any at all. But if they were to lose one, that would possibly be one. Their matchup on Monday could possibly be a game that we see them lose. 71% chance for the Pistons, 29% chance for the Magic. This is a 2-1 series lead for the Pistons. So a win here would lock up the series lead for them. A loss would mean a tie. This game will be at the Kia Center in Orlando, Florida. Jonathan Isaac out with a knee injury. Anthony Black out with an abdomen injury. Both of them expected to return April 5th, but we do know that that could be extended. Pistons won the first matchup October 29th, 135-116. Orlando won the second matchup November 28th, 112-109. Pistons bounced back on March 1st, 106-92. And here is the one to figure out how this will all end up. Magic have flip-flopped all their last couple of games. They lost to Cleveland, then beat Sacramento, lost to Toronto, then beat Phoenix, then lost to Atlanta. And as we know, the Pistons have been phenomenal in their recent matchups. Magic are 40-36 on the year, 23-15 at home. Meanwhile, Pistons 56-21, 25-12 on the road. We do expect that to improve before they find themselves playing the Magic anyway. Later this week, they'll play the Bucks, who the Bucks have severely struggled this year. 30-46, well below 500. A lot of injuries for them this year, and a big reason why they haven't been able to get a lot going. Pistons are 2-1 so far, so they do need to win another one here to go ahead and win the season series. 129-116 back on November 22nd was a win for the Pistons. Then December 3rd, the Bucks win 113-109. Pistons bounce back on December 6th, win 124-112. And that finds us here in this game where the Pistons have an 87.9% chance to win, just a 12.1% chance for Milwaukee. Milwaukee is 1-4 in their last five. Their lone win, a big win, 123-99 win over Dallas. They also have a 130-99 loss to Portland, 127-95 loss to San Antonio, 127-113 to the Clippers, 119-113 to the Rockets as well. So Pistons work is cut out in front of them, but we'll also be talking more about them later. When we come back from the break, we got to get in on more of that professional action in the Detroit area. We'll be laying down the ice in Little Caesars Arena first to talk about our Red Wings as they try and surge into the playoffs. Then we'll hop on over to the baseball stadium and talk about our Tigers. After the break here on Mid Madness on 95.3.
Carter Osterhaus here for the Council for Responsible Energy. I want to share a few quick, simple, and inexpensive tips that will not only reduce your home's energy use, but will also save you money on your utility bills. As you switch from heating to cooling, why not opt for a new programmable thermostat that will virtually pay for itself? This is one of the easiest things you can do to really see some significant savings. You can save about $180 a year by properly setting a programmable thermostat. Weather stripping can also significantly lower your bills. You just peel the backing off and seal up any leaks in drafty doors and windows. It only takes a few minutes, but you definitely notice a difference in both the temperature in the house and also your bills. And my last tip, check your home's insulation. Proper insulation in your attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, exterior and basement walls can save you 30% on home energy bills. It's a little bit more work for you, but your wallet will definitely thank you.
A message from the Council for Responsible Energy.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to lay down the ice in Little Caesars Arena and talk about the Detroit Red Wings, who are roommates with the Detroit Pistons. They are currently falling behind in the Eastern Conference. Going to look at the expanded standings so we can take a look at this through the wild card lens. In the Atlantic Division, firmly in the playoffs, the Lightning, Sabres, and Canadiens with 100, 198 points, respectively. At the top of the wild card, the Bruins and the Senators, who have 94 and 88 points, respectively. Right behind the Senators are the Red Wings and the Blue Jackets, who also have 88 points. The Red Wings are 40, 27, and 8 so far in the season. They're going to have to make a push here over the next couple of weeks if they want to find themselves in the playoffs. They know exactly what they have to do, but the harder part is actually going out and doing it. Looking at the leaders, DeBrincat, 39 goals, 14 of them on the power play on 269 shots. He also has 41 assists on the year to give him 80 points on the season. Lucas Raymond leads the team in assists with 47. His plus minus is 7, and he has 19 power play assists. Goaltending led by John Gibson, because who else would it be? He's got 2.61 goals against average on the year, 0.905 save percentage, has seen 1,345 shots, saved 1,217 of them, only given up 128 goals on the year. He has won 28 games, 2.91 goals for the team. They give up 2.96 per game, which is good for 10th in the league, 22.5% on the power play is good for 11th, 77.8% on the power kill, good for 22nd in the league. But they do still have their struggles where they have them. Looking back at what happened over the last week, they lost that game to the Flyers 5-3 at Little Caesars Arena. And then they went on the road to play Pittsburgh and they lost 5-1. But then they got their get back against the Flyers 4-2 on the road. So they lose 2-1 to the state of Pennsylvania. Not a good way to start the ending part of the season here if they want to make a playoff push. They have to go on the road later today, 12:30 p.m. on ABC against the Islanders. Then they have Minnesota on Sunday at Little Caesars Arena, 1 p.m. TNT, HBO Max, True TV. Then they have Columbus coming to Little Caesars Arena, 7 p.m. on ESPN+. Philadelphia will be coming to Little Caesars Arena on the 9th, 7 p.m. on ESPN+. Then the New Jersey Devils will come into town on April 11th, 5 p.m. ESPN+. Tampa Bay on the road April 13th, and then on the road at Florida April 15th to end out the season. ESPN+, TNT, HBO Max, and True TV, respectively, for those two matchups. The work is cut out for the Red Wings. I would argue that they have to win almost all of these games just to be safe. But the more they win or at least go to overtime and lose, the better for them. But they haven't had a lot of overtime losses this year, which has really plagued them when it's come to getting points during the season. We talk about it all the time. You have to be able to grab points how you can get them. Losing in overtime is far better than losing in regulation. Granted, you don't want to lose at all, but if you have to, you definitely want it to be in overtime. The Red Wings will take on the Rangers later today, 31-36-9. They're 12-19-7 at home. The series is currently tied 1-1. The Rangers won the first game 4-1 back on November 7th. Then the Red Wings won on November 16th, 2-1. Here's the rubber match between the two. It will be at Madison Square Garden in New York City. The Rangers are 3-2 in their last five, losses to the Maple Leafs 4-3 and the Canadiens 3-2. And they beat the Devils, the Panthers, and the Blackhawks. And we just talked about how the last five went for the Red Wings. They have a loss to Ottawa and a win over Buffalo between their matchups against the city or the state of Pennsylvania. So it's going to be hard for the Red Wings to make their way into the playoffs. But they do get to play Minnesota, which Minnesota might be a little bit easier for them. But it's tough because they play well on the road. 21-11-4 on the road. Minnesota currently leads the season series 1-0 a 4-3 overtime victory over the Wings back on January 22nd. A chance for the Wings to tie this series up, where they have played generally well at Little Caesars Arena before they get a matchup with Columbus early in the week. We'll touch back in on the Red Wings next week because we got to get on over to Comerica Park and talk about our Detroit Tigers, who are about to have their home opening series after they started the year rocky. They're 2-4 on a 4-game losing streak. They won their first game against the Padres 8-2. They won their second game against the Padres 5-2. They lost their third game 3-0. Then they lost 9-6 to the Diamondbacks in the opening game of that series. Lost 7-5 and then got swept as they lost the third game 1-0. So not off to a great start for the Tigers after having a phenomenal season last year. Colt Keith leads the team in batting average at .364, has an OBP of .417, slugging percentage 0.545. Meanwhile, Dylan Dingler has one home run to lead the team, .313 on his batting average, 5 RBIs, which also leads the squad. On the pitching side of things, Tarek Skubal, .69 ERA, 1 win, 9 strikeouts on the year already, which is also tied with Casey Mize, who has 9 strikeouts, no wins on the year, but a 1.50 ERA. Team stats, 24 runs so far in the year, tied for 18th, .215 on the batting average, good for 21st, .296 on base percentage, good for 20th, and their slugging percentage is 30th at .300. On the pitching side, 3.78 ERA, good for 12th. They have 4 quality starts, which is tied for first, 1.32 in the whip at 15th in the league, and .234 at opponent batting average, 17th in the league. Upcoming in this week, they are starting their home series against the Cardinals, which started last night, and then they have a game 1:10 p.m. today on ESPN against those Cardinals, and tomorrow on Peacock 7:20 p.m. They had Valdez on the mound last night against McGreevy. Flaherty will be on the mound today against May, and then Verlander getting his first start as he rejoins the Tigers on tomorrow against Leahy, and then they'll play the Minnesota Twins, in a early week series, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for that Twin series next week. Mize on the mound on Monday against Ryan. Skubal on the mound against Bradley on Tuesday. Valdez against Ober on Wednesday, and Flaherty against Abel on Thursday. Then they start their next series directly on Friday, playing a lot of games in a row to start the early year against Miami at home. They're on the road for that Twins series. They'll play Miami Friday, Saturday, Sunday, April 10th, 11th, and 12th. Verlander against Paddock, Game 1. Mize against Junk in Game 2. And the starters for that Game 3 have not been announced just yet. So Tigers off to a rocky start, but it is early in the year. Bats have to get going. Pitchers have to get in their motion. But the attendance awful strong out on the West Coast. 45,000, 44,000, 44,000 in those games against San Diego, 48,000 against Arizona, and then down in the 20s for those last two matchups on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll touch in it next week, talking more about the Tigers and Red Wings. We're about to get into our picks to see how well I know ball coming up over this weekend. But that's going to be after the break when we come back with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Tick. Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It is time for us to get into our picks, my favorite part of the show. Don't forget that you can play along with the picks every single week. Just make sure you have the 95.3 The Ticket app downloaded. Then you listen in, right? I'm going to pick those 6 games, run through them, do my deliberation, do my research, talk about what I know, because apparently I know ball all that great. And then you have the cool thing of being able to write down those games. And then you can go and do your own deliberation, your own research, double check mine, and probably find out that I'm wrong and make your own picks and see if you know ball better than I do. Take those picks and submit them into the 95.3, the ticket app, using the chat feature. And then we'll see if you can do what Jacob couldn't, and that's beat me in knowing ball. Jacob tried multiple times, three times that was, to pick games better than I did. He went 0-2-1. I won two times. We tied once. Me seems like I'm a winner. He's a loser. You know what I'm saying? But maybe you're better than Jacob. You're better than me, and you know the things about ball that we don't. Test it out. Hit that chat feature in 95.3, the ticket app. Jump in on the fun and see if you know ball better than I do. Speaking of knowing ball, man, I did my thing last week, man. Did my thing. Went 5-1 last week. Illinois over Iowa, Arizona over Purdue, the Pistons over the Timberwolves, the Thunder over the Knicks, Western Michigan did beat Minnesota State in hockey, and then Adesanya lost to Pfeiffer in that fight over the weekend. That gave me a 5-1 record, bumping me up to 26-16 on this new season. Speaking of new season, we're going to be jumping into some football this week as the UFL is back. And then we'll get back into the basketball, one NBA game. Then we'll be picking those final four semifinal games. I wish I could pick the championship game, but obviously we won't know who's in it until later today. So we'll start off in the UFL. The Battlehawks and the Renegades are both 1-0 to start the year. And they've done a phenomenal job of being two of the better teams in the UFL over the last couple of years. The Renegades won big, 36-17 in week one over the Houston Gamblers, 19-point differential. They're on a one-game win streak, obviously, as that was week one. They'll be playing the Battlehawks, who have won multiple UFL championships already and have been continually dominant. Battlehawks won their first game 16-10, so just a +6 score differential for them. But experience, consistency, and all of that matters when it comes to any sports, in my opinion. And in the UFL, the St. Louis Battlehawks are the definition of consistency. They're the definition of having a system. They're the definition of being disciplined and running it to a T. Their culture is fantastic. And then the fans absolutely love having football back in St. Louis after losing the Rams. And they show out in support like no other. With this game being in Dallas, that doesn't factor in too much, but I'm not sure that Dallas has enough to beat St. Louis anyway. Give me the Battlehawks, which would make Jacob proud, as he's a Battlehawks fan as well, to go ahead and beat the Dallas Renegades and remain one of the few undefeated teams in the UFL. Also happening in the UFL, it's the DC Defenders taking on the Columbus Aviators. The Columbus Aviators, one of the new teams, as some of the old teams were not able to keep their contracts with the cities that they were currently playing in. So the Columbus Aviators got their season started with a 16-23 loss to the Orlando Storm. So they have a -7 score differential, but the Defenders, they lost last week to the Battlehawks by a score of 10-16. So they're -6. Both these teams searching for their first win. But I think the difference for me is how close both of their games was. Columbus Aviators playing in a new place. They're basically a new franchise, new team, new players, new coaches. Fans have to get into that, but it's hard when they have so much football around them, right? They have the Cincinnati Bengals. They have the Cleveland Browns. They have the Ohio State Buckeyes. Football is good in the state of Ohio, so they don't necessarily need another team to go and support, but I'm sure they will, which could factor into this game. This game will be in Columbus. The only difference is the DC Defenders have a little bit more experience in the UFL. They lost their game by 6 to a perennial team in the UFL that has continued to make waves in the St. Louis Battlehawks. So I'm going to lean on the side of the Defenders. I think their defense is what is going to help them out in this game. As the Aviators gave up 23, the Defenders only gave up 16. So there's a good chance that they're able to go out and have some more success on the defensive end to lead to a win. Give me the DC Defenders, which moves me into my last UFL game of the week. It is the Louisville Kings taking on the Orlando Storm. As I mentioned, the Storm beat the Aviators 23-16, that +7 score differential. Meanwhile, the Louisville Kings lost to the Birmingham Stallions 15-13. So they have a -2 score differential. The Stallions have had success in the UFL in the past. They have started to wean off in the last season and a half or so. They've had their struggles, and they have certainly been a team that has poised to be one of the best in the UFL, but also purely shows why they are not one of the best. So it's interesting that Louisville was able to keep it so close, but they're going to have to go out and play a team in the Orlando Storm that have to be feeling good about themselves. The Storm came out and won their first game in program history. They didn't exist before this season, and they went out and they won 23-16 over. Granted, it was another team that had not existed before this season, and the Columbus Aviators. So that changes things up a lot in the way that this game will go down. It will be in Orlando, which Orlando doesn't have a football team, so that changes the way that they may view things, and maybe they are there to support a lot. We'll see. You know, the weather's nice in Orlando most of the time, but that doesn't mean that people are going to go out and watch football. So we'll see if that home field advantage does anything for Orlando at all, or if Louisville will be able to come in and spoil the party. Louisville, also an interesting place for football, a chance that they're really tuned in because they don't have anyone but the Louisville Cardinals, who, granted, have a good few years here and there, and people go out and show out for them. But will they do the same for a UFL team? Time will tell, but I'm going to pick the Storm to win a home game against the Louisville Kings. That wraps up UFL for the weekend, which moves us into the NBA as the San Antonio Spurs will take on the Denver Nuggets later today, 3 p.m. on Prime Video. The Nuggets are 49-28, 24-13 at home. The Spurs, 59-18, 29-11 on the road. 55% for the Spurs, 45% for the Nuggets. This game will be at Ball Arena in Denver, Colorado. Victor Wembanyama, game-time decision with an ankle injury. Emmanuel Miller, game-time decision is an undisclosed injury. The Nuggets, Zeke Nnaji, a game-time decision with a hip injury. Spencer Jones, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Peyton Watson, all game-time decisions with hamstring, knee, and hamstring injuries, respectively. The Nuggets are 5-0 in their last five, along with the Spurs. The Spurs have beat Memphis, Milwaukee, Chicago, Golden State, and the Clippers. Meanwhile, the Nuggets have beat Phoenix, Dallas, Utah, Golden State, and Utah again. This series is tied 1-1. They will play a couple of times in the next week as the Spurs won the first matchup 139-136 back on November 28th. And then the Nuggets won the second matchup on March 12th, 136-131. They'll play later today. Then they'll play again on Sunday, April 12th at 8:30 p.m. This one's tough to pick because without Victor Wembanyama, it makes it hard to say that Jokic won't be who he is. Leading their team 27.7 points per game, 13 rebounds, 10.8 assists. But, I mean, he's probably going to do that anyway. But with Wembanyama on the floor, totally different game and makes it a lot harder for him to have the kind of impact that he would like to. But I'm going to bank that Wemby will play in this game, and that will drastically change things for the Spurs, making it easier for them to win this game. I'm going to take the Spurs to come out victorious, take the lead in this series, and then have a chance to win the series next week. But that wraps up the NBA picks for the week. We're into the NCAA Final Four on the men's side. 3-seed Illinois Fighting Illini, 28-8 on the year, taking on the 2-seed UConn Huskies, 33-5 on the season. The game will be on TBS, HBO Max, True TV. They're giving Illinois a 58.9% chance to win, a 41.1% chance for Connecticut. Game will be at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana. We talked a bunch about both of these teams. They're both 4-1 in their last five. Their last losses, a 3-point overtime loss for Illinois to Wisconsin and a 20-point beatdown by St. John's over UConn. UConn did have that impressive win over Duke at the buzzer. Illinois has had basically no problems in the tournament, winning all their games by double digits. They're going to try and set up an all Big Ten matchup with Michigan in the Final Four. And you know what? I'm going to have to agree. I think Illinois moves on after looking at some of these metrics. I wasn't sure if that's what I was going to go with, but I went with it earlier this week when I was picking some games with some friends. So I think I'm going to do the same here. Illinois has all the factors to be great. They're coming in as 1.5-point favorites, negative 130 on the money line, plus 110 for UConn, 139.5 on the over-under. They have to contain Terrace Reed Jr., but they have the pieces to do it while also having outside threats. I think Illinois moves on and tries to set up a all-Big Ten championship game, which moves us right into our last semifinal of the weekend. One seed Michigan Wolverines, 35-3 against one seed Arizona Wildcats, 36-2. Game on HBO Max, TBS, True TV at about 9 p.m. Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis, Indiana will follow the first game that we talked about. 51.8% chance for Michigan, 48.2% chance for Arizona. Michigan, 1.5-point favorites, negative 125 on the money line, plus 105 for Arizona, 157.5 on the over-under. This will be as close of a game as close games can be. Arizona undefeated in their last five. Michigan has the one blemish to Purdue by 8 in the Big Ten championship game and Big Ten tournament championship game, but they've had zero problems in the tournament, winning by double digits, scoring 90 plus in every single game. Arizona did put up 109 against Arkansas in a 21-point victory there. I mean, this is the game of the year. We all know it. We're all looking forward to it. So of course, we're gonna have to see what's gonna happen here over the weekend. But if I had to guess and I had to pick, which I do, I'm going to take Michigan because that's what I do. Michigan over Arizona, setting up an all Big Ten, a national championship game. And I got Michigan winning that thing too, regardless of who's in it. If UConn wins, I still got Michigan. I would love to see them hoist a national trophy. That's going to do it for our picks. I've got Michigan, Illinois, the Spurs, Battlehawks, Defenders, and Storm. Don't forget to check out the Tigers on 95.3, the ticket over the next week. Plenty of games being played for your listening pleasure. We'll be back next week with Morbid Madness here on 95.3, the ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.